2 to tie. Michigan would have to bring it.
Oh, he walked. He walked it. The referee missed it.
Weber brings it into the front court. They have no timeouts remaining.
Oh, he crosses too many timeouts. That's a technical foul.
He called a timeout. Michigan doesn't have any.
He got by with a walk, and Jimmy calls a technical. He calls a timeout. He doesn't realize that's Michigan's too many, and so it'll be a technical foul. North Carolina shooting and the ball.
It is the divisional round of the NFL. We're here. It's no timeouts. Back for another week of football with the boys. My man Kyrie Pope back from his personal vacation. I know vacations feel probably a level of bliss that I've never felt when you have three kids and you get 4 days off from them. How was that, man? How was everything?
Man, if I can extend it, I would have, but now I was ready to get back to the grind, which is the kids. So, but it was lovely, man. It was bliss. The Bahamas owe me nothing, man, right now.
I feel like, yeah, you sound like you just had some great Instagram captions talking like that.
Man, they owe me nothing besides a safe driver. The driving is insane out there. Everybody thinks they're Dominic Toretto in Fast and Furious, and they're whipping these like 1960 van style taxis. Oh, it was crazy. Other than that, everything else was pretty good, man.
Hey, that's beautiful, man.
Yeah. Did find out low key, maybe because I was in the Bahamas, but went to this place called Atlantis. This is where they had the big casino and everything. And Nobu, kind of overrated. Not going to hold you.
Yeah, I feel like that's one of those spots that you eat and it's like you're partially eating just to say that you ate there, not for the food quality. You know what I mean?
Correct. Yeah, I had much better food just hanging around. But yeah, Nobu, nah. It was cool. It was cool to just say it was cool, right? But nah, brother.
Cool to say you ate there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I feel like you pay for the experience.
If you ever go to the Bahamas, there's this local place called Fish Fry. It's basically like it's like a food market where they just have nothing but bars, entertainment, and everything like that, right? But it's where all the locals eat at, and it was spot on. Some of the best food I had the entire trip.
Yeah, I feel like that tends to be the case. You kind of want to go to the more local spots as opposed to the Nobus and stuff like that.
Probably just blend in. Just dial. That's all I'll say. There's not too many taxis or Uber that you can get, so you kind of have to prearrange your transportation, and you got to blend in because it's kind of far from some of the resorts. But yeah, don't go there being flashy, trying to wear like your Sunday's best. You will get robbed.
Three smarts, bro. Survival of the fittest, you know.
Just saying. Some people don't have that on vacation, man. And we saw that at the beach. A lot of people don't have street smarts and just common sense when you're going to certain countries and being real flashy.
People doing too much. They want those Instagram photos, man. They want to look good.
Man, you look like targets all day long. But speaking of targets, let's target these playoff matchups. I feel like we have a great weekend of football ahead of us, fellas. How do you feel?
Well, before we get into this upcoming week, we do have to talk about what transpired last week. I know you were in the Bahamas. I don't know how much football you actually got to see, but your team won, bro. You're on a Cinderella run right now. How's it feel?
Aye, Cinderella run. We faced the most dysfunctional team in the playoffs, from what I've learned. So Tampa did pretty much run away from the game late against the Eagles. It was pretty close most of the game. Eagles made a couple of critical mistakes.
Five score. But if you look at the game, like you said, the Eagles, they just looked dysfunctional from the first drive, you know? So the score, it was close. But when you look at the game, man, it was obvious that you guys were winning by the end of the first quarter.
You know? I didn't feel that. To be honest, and you saw it in the group chat. Like, we have a lot of Eagles friends in our group chats. But my personal feeling was that Tampa's drives kept stalling. And to be honest, the three touchdowns they scored were all 50-yard broken plays and Hail Mary. So it's not like Tampa did something great here. They got field goals. Cool. Philly was within 16 points, as dysfunctional as they were, into the third quarter, right? And that's the kind of games that you can't have against Detroit, because they're going to pour it on you. So if the Cinderella run is going to continue and Baker Mayfield continues to earn this $100 million plus dollar contract.
Amen. And 337, three touchdowns, no interceptions, man. Baker was doing his thing.
It's broken plays, brother. Like,
hey, plays got to be made one way or another.
No, they do. I don't want to take it from him, but you gotta, like, I can't. I'm not a stat watcher in that regard. I gotta actually watch the football game.
You want to take it?
No, nah, man. All right, so I'll break one touchdown. Literally, two Eagles ran into each other on a crossing route. Thank you, Baker, for making the throw. A 50-yard Hail Mary bomb to Chris Godwin, where the DB just wouldn't turn around because Baker threw it literally in the air, seeing a zero blitz. So that was any man's ball. And then the third play was just a routine out route to Trey Palmer, and James Bradberry just refused to tackle. And it was a 50-yard. Like, I don't want to act like he's Patrick Mahomes wheeling and dealing here, but he made good throws.
Yeah. And good defense.
He did what we needed to do.
9 points. That's a good outing, man. Let's be happy. You know what I mean? Be happy. Yeah, man.
Bowles, for whatever reason, has the Eagles calling card and Jalen Hurts. Like, that's the probably the second time out of our three meetings that he's made Jalen Hurts look absolutely foolish. And the only time the Eagles have won was earlier this season when DeAndre Swift just went absolutely crazy rushing, and that was the only way they can win. When we forced him to be a passer, he couldn't do it.
Yeah, like to Kyrie's point, I think that although, like, yes, like the offense wasn't humming, but you could tell from the middle of the first quarter that y'all's defense was getting consistent pressure, making tackles. Like the Eagles had no answers for the blitz. So I think that's, like, to Kyrie's point, why he was saying he felt like the Bucks had it in hand. I mean, and he picked the Bucks. So, you know, kudos to Kyrie. I think the craziest game of the week, though, and I don't even know if it's even that close, even though the Rams and Lions was definitely the most well-played game, and I think that the Rams might have been the better team even though they lost, but the craziest game had to have been the Cowboys. I mean, that was crazy. And I was sick this past weekend. So I literally was like drugged up on like medication, fell asleep. I woke up to the Packers returning a pick six to make the game 27-0. And my jaw was literally on the floor.
An absolute slacking, man. An absolute one. Yeah. It's something that you don't think about. It just happens. And to go into Jerry World and do that in front of your home fans, hats off to Green Bay, man.
But Kyrie, how are you feeling about the Cowboys keeping McCarthy as their coach?
I'm not mad at it, right? I mean, I think when you look at, like, the meltdown that they had over the weekend or whatever, it's easy to just go ahead and say, fire McCarthy. It's easy to, you know, look at the Eagles meltdown and say, fire Sirianni or whatever. But when you look at overall team success, they have been very successful during McCarthy's tenure there, you know. And I blame more so the Cowboys' defense. I know a lot had gone wrong. Their offense was not clicking whatsoever. But I was looking more so at Dan Quinn, right? You know, like, I think there was a complete meltdown. I said before that I know Deron Bland was an All-Pro. He got selected as an All-Pro, but I didn't like it. I know he got it based off of his pick six record. It's a great record, amazing record. But he gets burnt a lot, you know. He was exposed, you know, in that game. So, but anyway, going back to the point, I'm not really mad at it. I don't think that it was a complete failure on his part. I think it was an overall defense, all phases of the ball, but I think it would have been, you know, jumping the gun a little bit to just go ahead and fire him. And then if you do fire McCarthy, you know, who
is really, there are a lot of good coaches out there. There's a lot of good coaches.
It's like Vrabel, there's Jim Harbaugh, who's, you know, but do you want to
take Belichick.
But who do you want to take over this team? You have Dak Prescott.
I think if they got Mike Vrabel, I think that would be the best move for them. But that's not a Jerry Jones
type.
I
think the best move would have just been promoting from within. If you get rid of McCarthy, promote Dan Quinn up, hire an OC
Dan Quinn up. Shanahan tree. I couldn't do that.
I would only because Dan Quinn is the hottest coaching candidate, and his team has been flawless most of this year. He's only embarrassed by the Kyle Shanahan tree, right? Think about
Green Bay. You gotta. That's a lot of people.
That is. That's about those four are or good five coaches right now.
You know, that's all the good teams in the NFC.
Those are good teams.
Those are four. That's the teams that he's gotten embarrassed by so far. Make your that adjustments.
Sounds like he don't need to be my head coach then. I would have.
Think about what you just said.
I think Mike Vrabel's the best coach.
Think about what you just said. The score was 27-0 when you woke up, right? To zero against the Packers DC, who has given up 40 something points to Baker Mayfield and anybody else who wants 30 or 40 points in the Packers.
It's not your podcast.
You weren't playing
Baker, bro.
I'm just saying, like, no, Baker had a great year, but I'm just throwing it out there that Baker was – he didn't miss a pass almost on that Green Bay defense. Dak Prescott failed. Tony Pollard looked like a bust. CeeDee Lamb was calling for balls and double coverage when Brandon Cooks was open. There's disarray all around that offense. That's on Mike McCarthy. That has nothing to do with Dan Quinn.
I mean,
I saw a lot of busted coverages.
I played Dak Quinn as well, yeah.
I said that, but throughout this year, that defense has been what's been getting Dallas that record, right? It hasn't been Tony Pollard. He hasn't had some stellar year. Dak was doing okay, and him and CDU had some chemistry, but the defense was playing lights out most of this year. They had a bad game against San Fran, bad game against Green Bay. Kyle Shanahan tree, man. Take that offseason and figure that out.
Hey, look, there's a lot of coaches in that tree. That's all the coaches you need to beat in the playoffs.
And more coming.
NFC.
And more coming.
And more coming. Like, that's a big flaw. That's a very big flaw. I mean, the only saving grace I'll give them, and I think people do forget that Trayvon Diggs was out. And that I think Bland, like how Kyrie said, kind of covered it up a bit because he was getting the pick sixes, but that is a big loss.
That's not an excuse because he's been gone for the entire season.
I can say that's an excuse. Like, Deron Bland, nobody's heard of him before this year, brother. Like, he was supposed to be the slot corner with Stephon Gilmore on the outside and Trayvon Diggs. So it's like, you lose that, you lose Leighton Vander Esch. You lose your middle linebacker. Like, you got some losses there, you know what I mean? But I personally, I've just –
I know. Look,
if you ask me what coach has the juice in Dallas, it would have been Quinn over McCarthy, who has proven absolutely nothing to me.
I mean,
tell me what he does well.
I mean, look, I'm all for not for getting rid of Mike McCarthy, but I just don't see what Dan Camp or what Dan.
Quinn.
I forgot his damn name. Quinn has done for me, especially considering I've seen him as a head coach before, and he did not look good.
I saw him at Atlanta.
And there's a reason he's a defensive coordinator. Some people are just very good coordinators, and they should be that. When you have Bill Belichick and Mike Vrabel sitting out there as a coach, you have to go get those guys first before you go get a guy like Dan Quinn. But that's just me.
Vrabel, yes. Belichick, no.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think Bill Belichick's biggest issue is that he's trying to do the GM job and coach job at the same time. I still think he's a pretty good coach.
Do you think that's going to change?
Well, that's a separate convo that him and Jerry would have had to have, but I guess we don't have to worry about that now because he's riding with his boy Mike McCarthy.
And it looks like Belichick will be your next coach of the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like as far as I've seen.
That's crazy. That's some Madden shit right there. I don't know about that one. But I mean, if I'm the Falcons, why not? I mean, if I'm the Falcons, why not?
Yeah, if I'm Bill Belichick, why?
If I'm Bill Belichick, it makes some sense because I think that's one of the few teams that'll give him full control, and they actually have talent.
He's just trying to get that record, man. He's only about 2 to 3 seasons away from the record. You join the NFC South where there's plenty of wins to be had. Pretty easy to put that.
For sure. But I'm just saying, if they get a quarterback, they have actual talent. They have a solid O-line. They have Bijan Robinson, who I'm sure Bill Belichick will be smart enough to actually get the ball to. Drake London's cool. Kyle Pitts is cool. Like, they have talent at least. And I think the defense is decent enough.
Like I could see the vision, but I do think that yeah, it's a play for the record in an easy division. So we're going to talk about the Dolphins, Chiefs. The Dolphins scored 7 points. They lost 27-6 at the Chiefs. I picked the Dolphins to win. Thankfully, I did not actually bet real life money on that because I would have been very sad. But I didn't think that they were going to win.
Yeah.
But I think in hindsight, looking at it, it made some sense because one, the Dolphins didn't beat good teams all year. You know what I mean? Like when I was betting the Dolphins, right. It was, oh, they're going to smash this bad team and they're going to smash them at home. Like they were beating teams by multiple touchdowns at home for one. And it was, again, teams that were under 500. Like the only playoff team that they beat, I think they beat the Cowboys. That was the only game that they won, I believe.
And I think that's the only game they won for a team better than 500 in like 2 years, actually.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, like, so now we're saying they're going to go on the road in Kansas City and beat Patrick Mahomes all of a sudden. Like, in hindsight,
I told you.
In hindsight, we overthought it a little bit. It's like this team hasn't been a good team all year. Now they're going to go and do it on the road in the cold. A team that was, I think, to it for his career is winless in games that are under 40 degrees.
Hey, two quarterbacks that don't like cold, Jared Goff and that Polynesian Tua. Okay.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
I mean, Patrick Mahomes has shown against the Dolphins and against other teams, against the Bills, you know, he's had good cold weather games. So mm-hmm. I do think and I was definitely guilty of it. I think I overthought it a little bit. I still don't love the Chiefs, but the Dolphins, and we mentioned it before, like their injuries. Chubb, Phillips. They didn't have Javon Holland when the game started either. They had a couple other starters out on defense. Mostert didn't look 100%. I don't think Waddle looked 100% either. But then just on defense, they were missing about five starters. So it was just a tough task even before you get into the weather, even before you get into, you know, Tua having his flaws, even before you get into, as a team, they're not beating teams who were playoff caliber teams all season long. It was a lot more stacked against them, I think, in hindsight, that made it, to me, not quite as surprising once I actually got into it, because I was like, oh, like, this is kind of the same team they've been all year, a team that hasn't been great on the road, a team that hasn't really been great against teams that are also playoff caliber.
And once you're actually watching the game and you're watching everything play out, it makes sense. You know, like you said, I agree with you. I think we just all overthought it a little bit. I think we kind of underestimated Kansas City a little bit just because they kind of scattered along throughout the season. But like you said, you know, everything made sense. I wasn't
the Dolphins are who we thought they were. They've been showing us all year.
Like you said, the Cowboys, but the Cowboys were also a team who hadn't really beaten anyone good throughout the regular season. So that was a kind of a battle of the frog teams. And that played out over the wild card weekend. So
That was my biggest surprise because I have no idea what the Dolphins actually do going into this offseason. They're just like the Rams.
I mean, they have to run it back. They have to run it back with Tua. Tyreek's got it. I mean, Tyreek actually showed up. That's the one player that did show up, all things considered. Yep. But they gotta figure out a lot, you know, with their
defense. They got a lot of money problems. That Jalen Ramsey contract kicks in. Chubb is a torn ACL, and he's mostly your cap. Now he's gone probably until middle of next year. Tua, you have to make a decision on. Xavien Howard. You got a lot of money problems over there, just like the Rams over there with McVay. And it's a lot going on. But we'll talk about this week. I don't really see too many upsets. I'm just gonna like bury the lead there. But I mean, the only game that I'm getting froggy about is this Chiefs-Bills, and I think we're probably on a consensus there. But correct me if I'm wrong.
I agree, actually. I wasn't in love with any upset pick aside from maybe, you know, like you said, the Chiefs game. For those that don't know, the Bills are favored, you know, to win by 2.5 points. So, I mean,
another snow game, by the way. Buffalo is now asking the fans to continue to shovel out the stands,
which is crazy. I think they were offering like $20 an hour or something like that. Like, that's what you paid a little kid in your neighborhood.
If we believe Twitter, they took away the food and drinks that were complimentary as well. So now it's just the flat $20 an hour.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, definitely crazy. Yeah, dude, does anyone... Yeah, that's actually... No, and there's people going out there who's going to do that too.
And they're not building a dome. They got a new stadium, and it's not going to be a dome. They're keeping it open again. I think they like it.
I mean, it's like a home field advantage kind of thing.
But they don't win.
And it's cheaper. It's cheaper to have an open than a dome as well. So
I can't even say I get it. That's way too many politics for me, but.
I mean, I'm just like I don't say I get it, but I can. I'm not surprised.
I agree. I am not surprised. But a team worth $5 or $6 billion talking about it's expensive to have a roof, get out of here. You can even have the one that don't the Colts have one that opens and closes? Like, you could have one of those, a retractable. Like, it's not that big of a deal. You're in Buffalo, New York. Like, if you ever want to host a Super Bowl and actually bring revenue, you're going to have a dome.
Well, they'll never host a Super Bowl, and I don't think anyone ever wants to go up to Buffalo. So there's that. I think the NFL wants to make sure they keep the roof open just so that they have a good reason to never have let them host a Super Bowl.
I agree. It's working. It's just like Minnesota. Nobody wanted to go to Minnesota for a Super Bowl, and then they added a dome, and then they're like,
exactly. All right, cool. Now you have no excuse but to let them have their Super Bowl. You think they want to do that for Buffalo? Absolutely not.
Who wants to go to Minnesota in February, boys?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Somehow Buffalo would be worse.
You can't even get a flight in. There's like one as airport. You can see, obviously, it's a huge airport, though.
This weekend.
There's only one.
You know, it's an upset I'm kind of interested in. I'm sure Pope would disagree if you're just naturally pessimistic regarding the Buccaneers, but I kind of like the Bucs, man.
You talking yourself into this? Okay.
You got to talk yourself into an upset somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. I mean, you know, if I have to pick something, I think the Lions are probably. I'd say they're probably the easiest team to get upset on, you know, at home that are still in the playoffs.
Because Dan Campbell's a gambling degenerate.
I mean, I think there's a multitude of reasons. I think, you know, they can generate a lot. That's one of them as well. I think at the end of the day, you're still playing against Jared Goff no matter what's happening. You know, and there's only but so long that he can, you know, keep the heroics up. Once he gets that pressure on him, he still turns into, you know, 2016 Jared Goff. So I'm not mad at the Buccaneers. I don't think the Lions' defense is great enough, especially their secondary, to really I don't want to say slow Baker down, but, you know, hinder him that much. So I'm not mad at that. I'm not too mad at it.
Hey, I'm gonna be honest. The more I'm looking at it, and if I had to pick an upset, the more I'm kind of liking the Packers. I'm not gonna lie.
Mm.
Just a tad. Like, obviously, you know, the 49ers are on paper superior. I think that when they have everyone healthy, they are the best team. Like, when we talk about Kittle and Debo and McCaffrey and Ayuk and Trent Williams, etc.
But all pros everywhere.
All for sure. And I think similar, and I am a big Purdy guy, but I would put him in a somewhat similar tier to Jared Goff. Like, if you're going to have a quarterback to go against in terms of if you're getting consistent pressure on them, for example, or if you're making the 49ers one dimensional, if you're able to do that, then that's a team. Then I would much rather do that than try to face Lamar or face Josh Allen. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I think the Packers are also peaking at the right time. Jordan Love in particular peaking at the right time. His numbers, his last like 6 or 7 weeks has been pretty much as good as any quarterback in the league. And they're the type of team on offense that, I mean, one, they do have a run game, and they don't have that number one receiver, but they have like four guys who are including and plus like two other tight ends, who are all pretty athletic, all pretty fast, and like you just can't really key on anyone. You know what I mean? So I think, and I like the coaching matchup a bit with LaFleur and Shanahan. They have some familiarity with each other, and I think
and that they have beef.
that could in theory help, you know, LaFleur a bit, you know, having that similar familiarity with Kyle Shanahan. So, I mean, I don't love it, obviously, but I do think the Packers have shown me a lot, and I think that's the one team that I'm looking at that I'm more intrigued on in terms of pulling an upset.
I was looking at that a little bit. I kind of like it. I mean, like you said, I don't love it, but it's interesting. You know, it's something that's plausible. It could definitely happen. You know, but yeah, I think I like.
I don't hate it. If I had to pick a lock of the week, I think I'm staying away from the Ravens and I'm going with the Niners, just because a lot of that same moxie juice, this guy's playing out of his mind argument you can make for Jordan Love, you can almost make the same one for CJ Stroud. And then you have the two, one of the teams is going to be sluggish out the gate because they had that bye, right? So is it going to be the Ravens? Is Lamar going to get rusty? Or is it going to be Purdy and the Niners? I just don't think the Niners are going to be the ones to be sluggish this week. So
offense where, you know, they don't really need to be. They can warm up a little bit, you know. Run with kids right out the gate or whatever just to ease themselves in. I can see that.
Yeah, like Purdy has some rhythm throws that he does in that first drive, but a lot of it's just like, I can just give this to Christian McCaffrey, you know? I guess my lock of the week is going to be the Niners. I think they actually cover the spread right now is at 9.5. So I think they win by 2 scores. I think that'll be. They've been scoring 30 plus every other week for the most part, most of the season. So I don't think that's going to stop here with Green Bay. And Jair is kind of banged up. So he's like one hit away from being out. So I can't really depend on him the whole game. So I'll go with that one for my lock. And I mean, is this the week the Bills get it done? I've hated the way Josh Allen has played, honestly. These recent weeks, like the numbers say that he's been good, but if you're watching the game, you're like, something's off. So I think I'm going to just stay with Kansas City as the upset, to be honest. For me personally,
actually, for my lock, I'm kind of going in the opposite direction of you. I like the Bills. Patrick Mahomes playing on the road in the playoffs for the first time. I think the Bills are fired up. They got hot at the right time. Since their coach started to embrace Islam, they've been pretty much undefeated, I think, in a blowout fashion for the most part. I think Mahomes, the Chiefs are just kind of, I said earlier, they're spattering along, and I think they got away last week they're fortunate enough to play the Dolphins. You know, I think they were a fraud team anyway. So I think this is the year that Josh Allen gets it done. He gets over the Chiefs and Mahomes hump. I think that since the Bills, they have an advantage being at home. I just see it happening. I think this is it. So going with the Bills.
I'm not mad at that at all. Even though I don't like the Bills, I do think that, yeah, like the Chiefs, if you're going to beat the Chiefs, if you're Josh Allen, if you don't do it this year, buddy.
This is the time, yeah.
Right, this is the time.
Next year, they're rehauling, so.
Yeah, and I think that goes kind of into my logic for my lock, and it's actually, I think I'm going to go with the Ravens. You know, part of me kind of wanted to go with the Lions just because they are very good at home. And I think similar to how you talked about with the Chiefs, I think the Bucs got pretty fortunate going against the Eagles at the very right time. I don't think that game was a true reflection of the Bucs being some contender all of a sudden. I think the Lions played a tough game and they have a lot of momentum. So I think in real life, I actually may put some money on the Lions, but for the sake of the pod and for the sake of what I've felt all year, it's just the vibe check. And the vibe check is telling me it's Lamar's time. Because if it's not now, then, buddy, you are officially the James Harden of the NFL, and I don't want that for you. I don't want that for Lamar. So if he goes out you know, has an MVP season and then lays an egg, or the Ravens lose again, and you know, before they even get to a championship game, let alone, you know, a Super Bowl, then I'm gonna be very concerned about when the time is. You know, the Ravens, they beat the Texans week one, 26-9. I think the Ravens just match up pretty well in terms of their defense against CJ Stroud. They have a good pass rush. They have, you know, the Texans have Noah Brown out, Tank Dell obviously also out. Like, I think that they can contain Nico Collins a bit, and I don't think the Texans have a ton of weapons outside of him. You know, Dalton Schultz, I guess. Like, those, like you know what I mean? Like, those guys aren't scaring me. You know what I mean?
Are you betting the money line, or you think they're going to cover the spread?
Oh, no, I'm talking spread. I would never bet no minus 400, whatever the hell, money line. I would never do that. No, I would.
So
I would
think the Ravens are going to cover the spread of 10-point victory.
Correct. Correct. Okay. That's my official pick. My unofficial pick would maybe be the Lions, but my official pick, because I'm riding with Lamar, is going to be the Ravens. I think, you know, I just think it's a good matchup for them against the Texans. That's all.
I don't disagree.
I think it's a good matchup for them. Like, I think I know it's week one, but that, you know, I still think that means something. And I think, you know, having the week off, you know, for Lamar, shoot, damn near 2 weeks in terms of rest. I think the Texans defense is, like, they're exciting. You know, they're young, they try hard, but they don't have no guys for real. You know what I mean? Like, just talking pure talent. Like, they don't have no names for real outside of Stingley. But just in, I'm talking about front seven wise, like, none of, like, Lamar should be able to really do whatever he wants.
Will Anderson, he's kind of nice. You know,
I mean, he's cool. He's like if he was on a lot of other teams, he would be like, he's not, I wouldn't even say he's better than like Aiden Hutchinson. You know what I mean? Like he is cool, but he's not, you know, there's a lot of number one picks or top three picks who have made a bigger impact in the past 5 years than Will Anderson has. Not to say he's bad, but just, I mean, relative to the Texans, he's really good, but he's not that, like, Micah Parsons type of
some
guy.
Some of those,
you know,
stats are against the Jets and the Patriots this year.
Yeah, like,
too,
he's cool.
So grain of,
like,
salt,
cool.
That.
But, you know, again, like, that, he's not somebody who I'm like, oh, he's about to disrupt this whole game.
Yeah.
To me, he's not that style.
For kicks, just because, so this will be fun. Me and Kyrie are going head-to-head with this one with our picks. I'll actually flip, now that you've said a lot of that, and I'm looking back at that spread, I don't see how the Lions don't cover. So I'm flipping from the Niners, and I'm just going to go with the Lions as my lock. Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to break records against this Tampa secondary. So me and Kyrie are completely flipped on locks and upsets, and I'll just ride with it. I got the Chiefs upsetting the Bills, and I got the Lions clearing Tampa and ending the Cinderella run. Can it be a Cinderella run of this one game? Like, that, does that count?
And, I mean, in the NFL, it kind of counts.
Won the division. I think
that's... Yeah, you won the division. Yeah, you won. Come on, it kind of counts. It kind of counts.
I mean, hey,
you're
lose,
in the top.
You lose,
Cinderella,
like,
as a guess, bro. Like,
you're in the,
you lose,
you're
five
the top
straight,
eight
then
eight
win the five straight, I guess.
You're in the top eight right now, bro.
Hey, man, I'm happy to be here. We'll put it that way.
Doesn't sound,
I do,
like,
I do think that the Lions are the safest bet in terms of favorites, but somebody has to ride with Lamar. No, Kari's too scared to do it, so I'll do it.
Nah, I get it. Hey, we've come a long way, Ronnie, from our first pod when you were telling me that Phillip Rivers is better than Lamar during the, you know, we had this discussion on our very first pod.
Phillip Rivers better than Lamar. I mean, you have to pull the tape up.
Oh,
that doesn't sound like me.
Oh,
I never liked Phillip Rivers.
Well, this was right after.
Like,
no, this was the Lamar Joe Flacco thing, and we were talking about Lamar's playoff record, and you were bringing up Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning and stuff like that. I remember it.
Well, that's a totally different statement than saying that I'd rather take Phillip Rivers. I never liked Phillip Rivers. I damn near boycotted the Colts because they gave guys Phillip Rivers. So I don't know how much I was riding with Phillip Rivers.
I'm just saying.
However, I will say, if Lamar loses this game, he is officially the James Harden of the NFL.
Oh, not the beard.
He's the James. I mean, it just is what it is. Or Joel Embiid, whichever one you can pick.
Pretty regular season, ugly postseason. Oh,
you can pick whichever one you want, Joel Embiid or James Harden. It applies either way. So half my pick is just because I don't want that to be Lamar. I really don't.
I feel like you're speaking on it too much right now, Ronnie. Maybe you know.
I was ready to move on. Pope was telling me picking Phil Rivers. I had to. We had to talk about it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I won't even be watching the game as closely as I would like, which makes me like really nervous for real. Like, I'm a superstitious person. I feel like I kind of gotta watch the game. You know what I'm saying? But that's the same day as my anniversary, so I'll be out of dinner. And there's no TVs at the restaurant that I'm going to. I've already checked. So,
who made this reservation?
Bro, I made the reservation weeks ago. I didn't know that we was playing.
Oh, man. Man, you set yourself up.
Yeah. Nothing I can do.
Yeah,
you just flipped the phone under the table, just low key. Oh,
bro. The phone will be out, bro. I just can't look at it. But the phone will be out.
I'm going to say, yeah, how much is Deja going to understand this scenario?
Oh, I already told her. I already got her hip. I was like, look, like, I'm not going to bam out and, like, you know, reschedule it or whatever, but, like, I got to have the phone out a little bit. You know, just so I could kind of react.
How did she take that?
Say that again.
So how did she take that?
She was like, all right, you should get it, bro. Like, this is important.
All right, I'm
you know what I'm saying? How else could she take it?
Like, I don't know. I mean, you're better than me. I definitely would have pushed that reservation back. I would have pushed that reservation back a few hours. Y'all playing at 4:30? Yeah, we would have been at dinner at 8 o'clock.
Man. Nah, bro, because they didn't have any more at that time. Trust me, bro. I exhausted everything.
You live close to DC. There's plenty of places. Just want to let you know.
Yeah, but I got it. We're going to Hell's Kitchen. Sure, you want to go there? I've never been either, so that would be interesting. But
oh yeah, it's pretty dope.
Oh hey man, I'm gonna say you really want to go to that restaurant. That food better be amazing.
Yeah, I hope so, bro.
It's cool. I'll give you some pointers off air, but yeah, it's cool. Nah, it's definitely dope for sure.
So they still got my best wishes, bro. I'll still be watching a little bit. So I hope they don't embarrass me. That's all I hope.
I want to say, yeah, don't let them ruin your anniversary, bro.
Nah, for real. They will hear from me if that's the case. They definitely will. Oh, yeah, I think it'll be a fun divisional weekend, man. I like the playoffs this year. I like the outcomes that we've gotten. I think it was a real fun wild card weekend, man. I kind of like having football 3 days in a row too. You know what I'm saying?
Two games 3 days in a row is kind of cool. I can't lie.
Yeah, like I wouldn't mind that being the case going forward, but I can see why people would as well though. So.
Yeah, well, it's two days this weekend and one game next weekend. It's just a real countdown.
Yeah, it's a sad season, man.
Only game Sundays next weekend.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, very crazy. Sheesh. All right, fellas. We can get out of here. Good talking to y'all. Got a lot in from last week, this week. The, you know, the picks obviously are a little shaky, you know, seeing that there's only four games to choose from. You know what?
But if you go with me, we'll win money. That's all you need to know.
I'm gonna say, yeah, we can't even say we're all going.
Lions and Chiefs, baby. Lions and Chiefs.
Somebody's losing somebody money this week.
Yeah.
Somebody losing somebody money. All right, fellas.
All right, y'all.
See you.